The conference is now being recorded.
As you can see on this slide, there's a few little icons on the bottom left of your screen that'll help you change what you see. The little cartoon talk bubble on the bottom left will let you see the chat window. You're welcome to have some conversation there with everyone in the group or pose some questions if you'd like. The icon that looks like a computer monitor allows you to see the presentation. If for some reason the presentation disappears because you've clicked on something else, go ahead and click on that again and the presentation will come back. The picture of the two people will let you see who is participating on the call today. And then on the bottom right, you can also control your view type so you can see things by thumbnails or with other different displays. We have a fairly broad agenda, I would say, in that we really wanted to give some time here for you folks to give some feedback as Kathleen has taken on the helm of the committee to see the direction that you'd like to see the committee go, some activities that you'd like to be involved in the next year or so. So with no further ado, I think we should go ahead and start with introductions. And Kathleen, why don't you go first, and then probably maybe we just go alphabetically down the attendees list from there.
Sounds like a plan. I'm Kathleen Burns, and I'm at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and I have the pleasure of being the chair of this committee, and I want you to know up front, I haven't a clue, but I do like working with government stuff, so hopefully we can make an impression somewhere. Brett, I believe it's you. Brett?
Hello,
Clara.
Oh, hi, yes, Clara Botts, I'm with Bard College. I worked with Adam quite a bit in Washington on federal policy work, and Bard is has early college sites in 6 sites total in 4 states, and so we're eager to get involved at the state and federal level, and I'm joined by my colleague, Amani Oliver.
Good day, everyone. This is Curtis Biggs. I'm with the University of Montana and also the Montana University System, fairly new to Montana. Hi there, Adam. How's it going? Just started working on concurrent and dual enrollment increases here in the state of Montana, and we're on the front end of providing access and rigorous opportunity. So pleased to be here. Once again, Adam and company, thank you.
Thank you. Doug?
Hi, Doug Binsfeld. I'm at Northeast Iowa Community College. I've been involved with concurrent enrollment for almost 15 years now. I've been pretty active with NACEF in the last 7 or so years. Was actually the chair until February when my position was old position was eliminated, so I'm glad to hop back in and get going.
Great. Eric?
Yes. Eric Sinclair from the Department of Education. I've been in my current position for about 11 months.
Having trouble hearing you.
I'm hearing you, Eric.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Try it again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Eric Sinclair. I'm with the Iowa Department of Education. I am a consultant for Senior Year Plus, which includes our concurrent enrollment program. I've been in my position for about 11 months and just excited to learn more about NACEF and get involved in any way I can.
Great. John Fissett?
John Fissett from Syracuse University Project Advance. I've been on the NACEF Government Relations Committee for quite a few years, served a couple stints as chair, and have usually attended the Washington on the Hill days. And looking forward to participate again this year.
Great. Thanks, Ben. Jonathan?
Yeah, this is Jonathan Bryant. I'm from Herkimer County Community College in Herkimer, New York. I also had the pleasure of attending Washington, D.C., and I'm really looking forward to being part of the group.
Fabulous. Kim?
Hi, this is Kim Aubley. I'm the Director of Communications and Member Services at NACEF.
Fabulous. Linda.
I'm Linda Allen. I'm the President of Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo, Iowa, and I'm the Member at Large on the NACEF board.
Terrific. Melanie?
Hi, I'm Melanie Brown. I'm the Vice President of Academic Affairs at St. John's River State College in Florida.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Only because you're in Florida. I love Florida. Melissa?
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Melissa Murray. I'm the Dean of School Partnerships at Pennsylvania Highlands Community College in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. It's my pleasure to be on this committee. Had a great time at the D.C. conference, and I love working with Kathleen and Adam.
Michelle?
Hi, this is Michelle Christofferson from the University of Minnesota Crookston campus. Thank you.
Miles.
Hi, everybody. It's Miles McCrimmon. I am the director of the Advanced College Academy at Reynolds Community College in Richmond, Virginia.
Boy, we're getting represented from all over the place. Patrick.
Hi, I'm Patrick Cannon. I'm the academic director of our concurrent enrollment program at Purdue University North Central in Indiana. And I attended the Washington seminar not this past year, but the year before. And I'm interested in governmental issues. And
Terrific. Robert?
I'm Robert White from SAU Tech in Camden, Arkansas. I've been involved with NACEP for quite a while. Also been on the governmental relations for quite a while.
Fabulous. Is that everybody?
No. This is Nancy Jordan, and at Raritan Valley Community College in New Jersey. We're actively involved in all kinds of aspects of concurrent enrollment, and I've been interested in federal policy, government policy for higher education for close to 40 years.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
This is so nice. I'm going to get to pick all of your brains. I don't have to do anything. I'll just be here. How's that?
And hi, this is Carla Crotel for Youngstown State University in Ohio. Sorry I was a couple minutes late. I couldn't get through on the conference line. I got involved with state policy initiatives last year as Ohio started to craft their College Credit Plus program, and I served on the state advisory board and got real involved with this stuff. I went to the policy meeting 2 years ago, couldn't make it this year. I think it's all very fascinating, and I'm happy to serve on this committee as well. Thanks.
Terrific. Anyone else?
Yeah, Brett Richardson.
Sandy.
St. Louis.
Go ahead, Brett.
Brett Richardson, St. Louis Community College. We're new to NACEP and to concurrent enrollment. I've had the pleasure of working with Kathleen on some state policy issues.
Well, thanks for saying that, Brett. Sandy?
Yeah, this is Sandy Gonzalez from Schenectady County Community College, and I'm also serving as president of NACEP, and I'm excited about this group. It's a great group of people, and I'm listening in today.
Well, we hope you'll contribute as long as you're here.
Thanks. I can't keep my mouth shut, you know that.
That's how people like us end up on these committees. Adam has done the favor of creating this lovely PowerPoint for us, and now that we've done with the introductions, he's going to give us, and notice the agenda there, you know, we've got a Washington, D.C. update, which Adam is going to lead for us, and then we're going to talk a lot about setting the committee's priorities, like, you know, where do we want to go from here, what do we want to work on, et cetera, and then the good and the welfare. So, Adam, with no further ado, if you'd take us to the Washington update, that'd be great.
Thanks, Kathleen, and I'm thrilled that we've got so many people on the call today and so many familiar names and faces and friends and some new folks as well, which is great. I just wanted to take a few minutes here. I will, at the conference, do a full presentation on what's been happening in Washington this year. But I want to take a few minutes here to just give you an update on some things that have happened this spring and summer. Many of you were at our spring Washington policy seminar this year. We had 30 people attend, and we did a day and a half long seminar where we had about a dozen to 15 speakers from various trade associations, advocacy groups, federal offices, and lobbyists come and speak to our members and others who attended the seminar. And it was really an exciting day and a half of really interesting talks, a lot of wide-ranging initiatives that are happening in conversations and coming out of Washington, and how they impact concurrent enrollment programs. We, in conjunction with the seminar, put on a congressional briefing in collaboration with the Middle College National Consortium, Bard College, Clara, who's on the call, Jobs for the Future, and Edwards out of Ohio. We try to do congressional briefings at least once a year because it's an opportunity for us to speak to congressional staff and get some exposure among congressional staff as well as other groups that are in D.C. that attend those types of meetings. And I think we had about 75 to 100 people in attendance in the audience. It was done. We scheduled our seminar to occur at the same time as Middle College National Consortium had their student leadership conference in Washington. So they had some 200 students in D.C. at the same time, a handful of whom came to the congressional briefing. One spoke on a panel. Another one got up and spoke from the audience as well. And it was really powerful to have the students there as sort of ambassadors for the dual and concurrent enrollment and early college high school movement as a whole. We found this approach to collaborating among multiple organizations to be really fruitful the last few years, and look forward to continuing to work with a number of these groups on legislative and other issues in D.C. NACEP was represented on the briefing panel by our president-elect, Kent Shuffle, and he spoke particularly about the concurrent enrollment program that they run there at Lewis and Clark Community College and the career and technical education offerings that they have, as well as the impact that student financial aid could potentially have on their students. The keynote speaker, as it would be, was Senator Chris Coons from Delaware. Senator Coons has been a very vocal supporter of dual enrollment programs and has been trying to get a piece of legislation that I'll talk about briefly, the Fast Track to College Act, introduced in the Senate. However, he is one of those rare breeds in Washington who only likes to move legislation if he can do so in a bipartisan way. And so until he finds a Republican co-sponsor for his initiative, he won't introduce anything. And so we'll update you a little bit more about that. But he's a very eloquent speaker on the importance of reducing the cost of college and the importance of dual enrollment programs as college transition efforts. We will do a Washington Policy Seminar again in the spring. There's one of the things that we'd certainly like your input on at the end of the call is what time in the spring works best for people. There's never the perfect week that that works for everyone, but we have done so in the last few years at the beginning of May and are considering some alternative dates for that. And for those of you who attended, certainly any feedback you have on how we can improve it for next year is greatly appreciated. I wanted to give you a few updates on federal legislative matters. The first is in a rare moment of bipartisan efforts, the Workforce Investment Act was reauthorized earlier this year, and I mention it largely because it just does prove that Congress, even in the current environment, does occasionally tackle some weighty issues and manage to have a positive outcome from those discussions and that legislation. In terms of the impact of the WIA on concurrent enrollment, I think the main thing to know about is that there was a very significant emphasis placed in this reauthorization on the attainment of post-secondary degrees, recognizing the importance of career paths, not just job retraining efforts in the current economy, the importance of getting degrees and credentials that are portable for both youth and adults who are receiving funding through WIA job training programs. And so I think there was, throughout the legislation, an increased emphasis on the role of colleges in providing credentials that are indeed portable for people. The other aspect of that is that the youth programs had been targeted about a year or two ago in prior conversations for elimination or significant reduction, and in the end they did manage to stay in. And so for those of you whose programs overlap with some WIA initiatives, the youth funding is, at least for the time being, still a component of WIA. The next one, Fast Track to College Act, is a piece of legislation that's been around for, I don't know, at least 6 to 8 years in various iterations. It would create a competitive grant program for local partnerships of school districts and institutions of higher education that could apply for federal funding for dual enrollment programs or early college high schools that provide tuition-free coursework for low-income students. And I can't remember the actual threshold, but I think there has to be the potential for those students to earn 1 or 2 years of college credit during those partnerships. The legislation was originally crafted on the Senate side in Senator Cole from Wisconsin's office. He has since retired. And on the House side by Senator Kildee from Michigan, who has also since retired. On the House side, it has been taken up by Representative Hinojosa from South Texas, and he has about a dozen co-sponsors on the bill, all of them Democrats. On the Senate side, Senator Coons has indicated that he would like to reintroduce it, and as I mentioned before, he will only do so once he gets the Republican co-sponsor. So the bill is sort of in purgatory. I think it is, in many ways, the original drafters of the bill caused it to get viewed of as a Democratic bill, which hinders its ability, especially in the current environment, to move anywhere. And so whether or not it gets reintroduced on the Senate side anytime soon is really a guessing game. The second bill that I've got listed here, the Supporting College Access and Success Through Dual Enrollment Act, is a new bill that was introduced, I believe in May, maybe June, by Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont. And this is sort of came out of the blue. He had spoken to just a few people about his interest in dual enrollment, and the kind of word on the street is that part of the reason he's introducing education bills right now is because he's trying to gain the committee chairmanship, or at least a high-level position on the committee, when Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa retires at the end of this term. So the Supporting College Access and Success Through Dual Enrollment Act would provide, rather than competitive grants to local partnerships, it would provide formula grants to states for dual enrollment participation by low-income students. So it would be a much broader, pool of funds that would go out potentially to up to, all 50 states, depending on whether or not they meet some criteria set out in the bill. Like the Fast Track Act, it requires courses that are funded through this initiative, if it were to get passed, to be provided for free to low-income students. The one challenge with this legislation is that it was drafted by an overly zealous staffer, and so it is a 30-plus page bill, and therefore it's fairly cumbersome and overly prescriptive in its language. In a wide range of ways, and that's why I say it's potentially available to 50 states, because there's quite a number of assurances that states would have to sign on to in order to gain access to these funds. I think a lot of states would be ineligible for, because they wouldn't be able to make those assurances based upon their current programs. In addition, there is some specific language in there that that NASIP would have some concerns with. And that is that it encourages, although it doesn't require, but it does encourage courses to be taught on campus and encourages them to be taught by regular college faculty. Again, doesn't require it, but just the mere presence of the language is a little bit distracting, to say the least, when one reads it. I have met with the staff there and provided comments on it, but unfortunately those were not included before the bill was introduced. So the bill has been introduced on the Senate side. Again, has been picked up by only Democrats so far, and so I believe there are 6 co-sponsors on that, largely from the New England and Mid-Atlantic region. The bill did work its way into a discussion draft of the Higher Education Act reauthorization that the Senate Democrats have been floating recently. And again, I mention it with the party affiliation because really in the current Congress right now, bills are being introduced on both sides of the aisle in both houses, both the House and the Senate, by each party. At the moment, there's very little bipartisan bill drafting happening, and what's happened instead is that they're each introducing their own bills, and then they come down and sit and negotiate and have conversations. Last year, we saw a number of bipartisan amendments, for dual enrollment that had some bipartisan support when things actually made it to committee on both the House side and the Senate side for ESEA reauthorization. So in many ways, these are kind of placeholder bills and the starting points for negotiations. And so Sanders' bill is in the current draft of the HEA reauthorization that the Senate Democrats are putting out there as a discussion draft that came out earlier this summer. Dual enrollment appears in 2 other sections of that act. One is a potential state competitive grant program for innovation, as well as, actually 3 places, an innovation fund for minority-serving institutions and a community college and industry partnerships program as well. Lastly, I want to mention Pell. As you know, a few years back there was a very significant student financial aid reform, and there's a number of conversations right now about smaller changes to Pell and other student financial aid programs. Leading the charge on incorporating dual enrollment and early college high schools into those conversations is Bard College, and so if you have more questions about Pell, probably better to talk to Clara than to me because she's more up to speed on that. But Bard College has been floating around some draft legislation and having quite a number of conversations, as have some other groups, with various congressional offices about the potential for opening up Pell in some fashion to high school students. As of now, high school students are not eligible at all for federal student financial aid. That was a 12-minute update, so obviously there's plenty of back and forth. Kathleen, do you think I have time to take a few questions right now?
Sure, go ahead.
So
yeah, if you have any questions or any comments that you'd like about the federal legislation, let me know. Have a good time.
Adam, this is Curtis Diggs.
Hi, Curtis.
Hi there. Are those specific ad bills and proposals going to be available for us to, are you going to have something kind of on a white sheet for us to peruse after the meeting today?
Sure. I think I linked in on the announcement, on the last email announcement of this webinar, I sent a link to some of the bills, but I will certainly do that. And one of the things that Kathleen and I were talking about was doing some summaries, as you say, little fact sheets that would help people in talking about them.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, and the 30-pager was certainly a page-turner with many to go through. But that's why I was kind of asking just as far as the synopsis. So thanks for throwing all that together. And like you said, 12 minutes.
Okay. Any other questions? I'm sure there's lots of them. And, you know, we're all wondering when Washington, D.C. is going to start working again. But anyway, in the meantime, so, Adam, I'm going to let you take it over again and talk about the NASAP bylaws and then our committee priorities and how that was talked about so that we all know, including myself, on what our priorities should be for this upcoming year and following.
Sure. As Kathleen said, Kathleen and I started talking about how we might facilitate a conversation around the priorities of the committee moving forward, we thought it's always good to sort of start at the basics and make sure we're all on the same page in terms of what we sort of already know the committee's role is. And so the Governmental Relations Committee is defined in the NASIP bylaws, it's up here on the screen. I'm not going to read it out word for word, but primarily the function within the organization of interacting with federal and state agencies, and also to promote concurrent enrollment and build partnerships with policymaking agencies and non-governmental agencies as well, to further the aims of NASEP and quality concurrent enrollment programs. Beyond the bylaws, the Board of Directors last year adopted a strategic plan for 2014 through 2016. It has two overarching strategic goals. One is to provide a comprehensive program of membership services to anticipate the needs of a changing educational environment. And the second goal, which is really where our work here as a committee falls, is to develop and promote NASEP as the authoritative resource and influential voice for concurrent enrollment policy. Within Strategic Goal 2, there was one objective that discussed building relationships with organizations and key decision makers to advance our mission. And one specific action step that is, for lack of a better term, assigned to this committee, which is to create opportunities for key state and federal decision makers to learn about NASEP and standards-based concurrent enrollment through study tours, dialogues, model legislation, or other methods. Just to kind of reemphasize, the Governmental Relations Committee has traditionally focused primarily on our Washington, D.C. Efforts, but there is certainly room within the scope of the committee as well to get involved in education and advocacy work at the state level as well. And I think this is one area where you could help us both in terms of identifying opportunities as well as in facilitating those opportunities for NASEP to strengthen our voice in these policymaking decisions. Lastly, in terms of context, I wanted to alert you to the fact that we do have a platform. It has been around for a number of years, at least five, since that's how long I've been with the organization. John, you may know exactly when it was adopted. It is available on our website. And I can email you a copy as well as a follow-up to this. But the platform has some fairly powerful but broad statements about supporting concurrent enrollment programs as a form of access to college in the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, ensuring that all students have equal access to concurrent enrollment classes, and supporting access to federal appropriations. The fourth one is about supporting institutions in providing professional development for concurrent enrollment instructors, adherence to a set of national standards to ensure quality, and then supporting documented research and evaluation of concurrent enrollment programs. So I think all of these things are the foundation in many ways of any education and advocacy work that we might do as a committee. And there are other areas, and we could certainly look at revising the platform if we think it needs to be updated in any way moving forward. So that is the context under which the committee operates, and with that, I will turn it back over to Kathleen.
Can you go back a few slides, Adam? And I want to just take a look at that state level, So creating opportunities for key state and federal. Now, here in Missouri, NASEP came and gave a presentation, which was very well attended, and as you know, it's had a great influence in Missouri, and the state of Missouri is now meeting to rewrite their dual credit policy based on that. Is this something that Rusty, who is the vice something of Missouri Department of Higher Ed. Did he initiate that, or was that something that NASEP, or how did that work? And by knowing how that worked out, could we apply that in other states that may need, you know, a little help in that area? Adam?
I think in each state we approach it a different way, and each state is really unique in terms of the context in which it operates. Indeed, the accreditation workshop that we ran in Missouri came out
Missouri.
Of conversation. Missouri, depends on what part of the state you're from. Came out of conversations, certainly you and a number of other longtime NASEP members had been building a lot of groundwork and engaging in conversations with folks at the state level and at many of your peer institutions. And so at some point that kind of got bounced up to the, as you said, the vice chancellor or whatever his title was, and he and I spoke about how we might support the institutions as a whole to get engaged in this work. And so, yeah, that one really came about from conversations between myself and Rusty after you and others had percolated the idea in his and others at the state levels.
And his attendance at the Seattle conference, if I remember.
Right, he came to the conference. We now have 18 state agencies or system offices that have that are partner members of NASEP, and those are ones that we tend to be more actively engaged in conversations with about how
mm-hmm.
we can best support statewide initiatives. So it does tend to, I think the importance of state policymakers is not to be understated. We did an event in Michigan a few weeks ago, which was organized primarily by a few of the institutions of higher education, but they then approached the Michigan Department of Education about getting involved as well, and by having the state involved, both provided some financial resources in that case, which Missouri didn't, but in Michigan they were able to, and also we was able to kind of build some connections and momentum by having the state as a co-organizer of that event rather than just two or three colleges and universities.
Okay, thanks. You move us back to our talking slide. So, ideas from folks, especially those of you who've been around for a while and been on this committee, you know, in prior years, what should the committee focus on? Where should we direct our energies? Any ideas?
This is Robert White. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I think one of the things, and I shared that the last time, I think I shared that with Adam, I think we need to continue to work with state agencies, education departments, because I think a lot of those are lacking in direction or where they need to go. And in addition to that, probably need to be working well for the legislative education committees, because a lot of states, especially in Arkansas, they are doing a lot of things with concurrent credit. And NASEP had worked with the Arkansas department real well, and they still is trying to figure out exactly what they want to do about concurrent credit in Arkansas. And so I think we need to continue to be a resource and in some cases kind of direct them in how they should proceed.
Kind of bring them into the light, if you will?
Ma'am?
To bring them into the light to,
yes.
You know, kind of what we did here in Missouri, it's kind of like, okay, you know, these state agencies, they don't have the funding to, you know, make sure that everybody is doing what they say they're doing and providing dual credit. So, you know, there were some schools are not doing a great job with it. Other schools are doing an excellent job with it, but nobody was really supporting it because there were so many different things going on. So that was the push where those of us who are familiar with NASEP, we really went to the MDHT, the Missouri Department of Higher Ed. So I think that's a great idea, Robert. I think we should really, try to contact people, especially if we get people, you know, members of the committee that aren't necessarily in the state, because sometimes, like you say, like I would say, they don't always listen to somebody who's in the state, but it's from outside. You know, if you have a contact from outside that's already using NASEP standards, et cetera, that's a really great idea.
And I certainly think that needs to happen in Arkansas, because what if happened, we had a good foot in the door with NASEP. There were some colleges that's not doing a good job of this, and then they decided to push back some on NASEP. And actually now we have an alternative certification where originally all the colleges that wanted to do concurrent enrollment had to go through NASEP. I think that needs to be continued reinforced. I think they're just only backing off of it because of some colleges said they had to jump through a lot of hoops. We explained to them that, you know, they could be helped through those hoops, but I do think we need to reinforce our efforts in Arkansas, because I think there are several individuals that in higher places really support the concept of NASEP.
I think that's great. I mean, I'm sorry that I learned that about Arkansas, because I always use Arkansas as an example of, you know, you have to be NASEP accredited to be to offer.
Up until a year ago, that was true. It's still a lot of colleges in NASEP, really supports NASEP, but there are a group that is pushing for and have actually got an alternative certification where you basically go through some of the things that NASEP requires you, but not near as rigorous.
Yeah, that's too bad. Okay.
But I think it's in all the states, though. Arkansas. I think we should actually work with all the states in developing it. Because a lot of them, and I've talked to other individuals from other states, they are really trying to find a handle on how to address concurrent in the best possible way.
Well, thank you for sharing, Robert. Any ideas of folks on how to get that accomplished or other ideas?
One other thing I would share, I think what we have to do, and I think Adam, we've talked about this some, also the chair has to be somewhat proactive in getting in contact with the departments of ed directors, and also getting more involved with those legislative committees, especially the education committees in both the Senate and the House in most of these states. And the reason I say that, I served in the legislature for 6 years. Arkansas has a terrible term limit. You can only serve 6 years in the House, and that's it. And I know even, and that was during the late 90s and the first part of 2000, they was looking for directions. And I'm still in contact with some outside the state and stuff like that. And a lot of those groups are looking for direction.
Well, I'm happy to serve in that role. I mean, I definitely, you know, want to do those exact kind of things, and I'm sure Adam will have contact information for me that I can start sending out emails to, you know, the those that were in charge of the Department of Higher Ed in different states, et cetera. So I'm definitely willing to do that. Okay. Anybody else for focuses? What we focuses? Okay. Anybody else? All right. Is there any kind of support that the committee can provide for you all, or something that we should provide for our already established NASEP members?
I think one of the things that might can be helpful is, and I know you're doing that in a way, is because that was somewhat of a concern in Arkansas when the recertification process comes up, support in helping the colleges through that system.
Oh, I see what you mean. So with the whole accreditation process, Would that be through the accreditation committee? Or
Right. I agree, but I'm just saying that's not necessarily this committee, but that would be very helpful that maybe this committee can make sure that the accreditation committee knows that there are concerns when re-accreditation comes up and whatever support, and I know they give good support because we tried to get in Arkansas, and I don't think we got enough members for them to actually come to Arkansas and do a workshop for us this year. And I just don't think we got enough for support from the member schools to get them to come.
Robert, let's definitely continue that conversation because we do have a surge of reaccreditations coming up in Arkansas in the next 2 to 3 years. And so I would be very happy to work with you and others to try to organize a workshop in Arkansas, you know, specifically geared towards reaccreditation. I think we could make it work in terms of numbers without too much of a stretch. And particularly if we were to open it up to some out-of-staters as well, I bet we'd get people who might travel in for that from other states who are up for reaccreditation. So
Missouri's real close.
I'll certainly follow up with you on that. And you know, and that's something, you know, certainly I know Eric from Iowa is on here. You know, in a few years' time, the big cohort of Iowa colleges that went through accreditation, you know, 7 years is a long time, and staff change, faculty liaisons and chairs change, and administrations change, and state policy changes over a course of 7 years. And so being ready to refocus in on doing a self-study again 6 years later and being effective about that is something that I think we do need to provide some more support on, and I think Arkansas is probably the right place to work on developing that support because of the timing.
I agree.
Adam, this is Clara. Just in terms of, I mean, obviously I focus on federal work, but I think as things at the state level and the federal level, if there are bills that are in motion, I think just really working as a committee to have people write to their members and really stay active and try to increase both awareness but also support for you know, any legislation that is, you know, you all support and is moving. So I think just really staying active and really trying to increase awareness because there's so many people that don't know what dual enrollment is, let alone current enrollment.
I think that's a terrific idea, Clara, and I would say that we could also encourage our members from, you know, across the board. I would like to send out to information about these bills and whatnot that are going through. We could send out to all of our members and ask them to write to their congressman, senator, whatever, to try to, you know, help with that, not just committee members, but all of our membership.
Absolutely,
I think
that was great.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, let's do that. Let's definitely do that.
Kathleen, this is Linda. I think that in addition to that, I really like that idea, but I think in addition to that, there are a lot of members that are probably unaware or not well-versed in what they should be addressing if they write. To their local political representative, whether it's a state or federal level. And so maybe in addition to making them aware of these changes, these bills, these particular initiatives, if we had some kind of short summary of what the key points for NASEP might be that are relevant to this particular piece of legislation or this initiative so that they feel informed before they start to talk to people about what they'd like to see done.
Sounds great. Definitely.
So maybe that's something this group could do is sort of look at what, I know Adam Davis has a great overview of each one of those changes. Pell is one of those areas I think that is right now a little bit fuzzy around the edges. There are lots of things going on with Pell that, you know, you read a great deal about. Some of the changes that are proposed and where that might be, just using Pell as an example. But, you know, if our membership had an idea of what was happening, that might be a great way to kind of get conversations going and a greater impact with what this committee might do by making them aware and then how they might get active in that with regard to one of those initiatives.
Terrific. Great idea. I would also, in my case, you know, there's a lot of principals and superintendents and stuff that I'm pretty friendly with to send them something, you know, especially if it would support, you know, the underprivileged kids that are in their schools. You know, they can write letters too. It's a great idea.
Yep.
Great idea. Let's do it. You're writing this all down, Adam, so that you know that you have to send all that stuff, right? Okay, anything?
He's clicking in the background. That's me taking notes.
There you go. Anything else for right now with number two? And then what is your preferred approach for dialogue and information sharing for a committee like this? My personal thing is I really am not very fond of long meetings, and I find it very difficult to focus on long meetings on phones because I can't see anybody and that kind of thing. But does this work for you all? Do an hour, 2 hours meetings, you know, what do you think, Adam? Every other month or as need be, or do you have another preference?
I think that's up for the folks on the committee rather than me.
Well, yeah, I really meant the committee, but
fine with this concept. Probably an hour is a good length of time.
Curtis, I agree. And monthly, I think just for continuity's sake, would be just fine for me. I'm willing to commit to that.
Yeah, I will be okay.
Okay. Others?
I agree. This is Linda. I think an hour is probably a monthly meeting for an hour. No more than an hour would be sufficient.
Patrick, I agree. I think an hour on a monthly basis is probably a good thing from the start anyway.
This is Brett. I concur with those sentiments.
It's so nice to have so many people agreeing with me right off the bat. I like those long meetings have never been my forte. Okay, well that's great. So we'll try to get that set up. And what day of the week is it today? Wednesday. So Wednesday afternoons would be good for most folks. That's a typically empty day. Well, not hearing any naysayers.
Whatever days is okay. I'll try to make time for it.
Okay. Sounds good.
As long as it's not on Friday evenings.
I'm sorry? Friday evening? No, that won't happen. Not on your life. Okay. So moving right along. So the committee meeting at the conference, which I'm sure we will all, and it's set up right now for Tuesday in the afternoon, I believe. Is that correct? But it might change. So.
Right. It will, like, in all likelihood, it will be Tuesday afternoon. It may be some other time on Tuesday, depending on as we move things around.
Great.
We are having a problem of popularity at the moment, so if you haven't registered for the conference and you're planning to come, please do so soon. We have over 560 people registered as of today, and we may have to cap it at about 650 if we continue to get a lot of registration. So we're shuffling around rooms right now and seeing just how many we can squeeze in. And still be comfortable. The other thing is, as I mentioned early on in the call, we will schedule a Washington Policy Seminar in the spring. So do provide some feedback to us both on the content, the issues you'd like to see raised there, as well as timing-wise. If there's a particular time of the spring that works better for you than others, let us know sooner rather than later so that as we work to schedule it, we can take that into consideration.
Adam, this is Carla in Ohio. I'm coming into Chicago for the state policy meeting on Sunday, but I wasn't going to stay. One of my colleagues is going to be there. Would it be acceptable, I suppose I should be asking the chair, my apologies, for her to attend the government relations meeting in my place?
Yes, of course. Our committee meetings are always open to all at the conference.
Great. Thanks.
This is Michelle in Minnesota. Depending upon flights and my current schedule, it may be that I'm unable to attend the Tuesday session. Will there just be minutes or notes captured for a release at a later date, Adam?
That's the plan.
Thank you.
So weird to think that all these meetings get recorded and everybody can hear them back and later. I'm playing at my retirement party or something. Okay. Is there any other slides there? Adam?
Yep.
We're all good? Okay. So this is our meeting for September. So I'm going to suggest that perhaps the October meeting is our next meeting, and then we will do follow-ups from there. And to bring with you to the meeting at the conference, suggestions or anything else that might come up in the meantime. And I'm sure that Adam is going to start working on getting email addresses ready for me so I can start talking to people. Right, Adam?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, again, please do reach out to us if there's anything we can be of assistance with in your states. There's clearly we can only get involved in things that we're aware of. And so as issues are arising in your states that you'd like us to get involved in collectively, we're happy to help facilitate those conversations. Thank you very much for joining us today. And please do continue to provide feedback.
So thanks, everybody. It was very nice chatting with you all, and I look forward to seeing you in Chicago. Don't you know
them. This is Curtis. Thanks, everybody. Job well done.
Thanks, Kathleen. Bye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.